Hey, Whore Hive. This week's episode is brought to you by none other than Adam and Eve. We all like free shit. Sometimes, not all the time. But when free shit is the good shit, that's when we really like it. So, Adam and Eve is now giving our listeners 50% off of almost any one item. But they're also throwing a ton of more free shit into the mix. Enter offer code WD50 at checkout and get 10 free gifts. That's a sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item that you'll both enjoy, plus 6 free spicy movies, and they're throwing in free shipping and handling. So that's WD50 at adamandeve.com. Don't forget to enter your promo code WD50 and save almost 50% off of almost any one item at Adam and Eve. This week's episode is also brought to you by Mocha Fest 2020 in Jamaica. Bullet, bullet, bullet. We want all of you guys to show up and join us next year, Memorial Day weekend. That is May 21st through the 26th in Negril, Jamaica. If you go to mochafest.com and use promo code HORRIBLE, that's WHORIBLE, you will save 50% off on your package. So go now to mochafest.com, go to the Jamaica trip, MochaFest 2020, and save $50 off of your booking using promo code HORRIBLE, WHORIBLE. We can't wait to see you there. Now let's get on with the show. Hey guys, how are you? Yes, it's the raspy one and only Mandy B. Hey guys, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever day you're fucking listening to us. It is Horrible Decisions, and I am recording live out here in Los Angeles. I am joined by a guest co-host today because Weezy is still in New York and probably actually in Europe right now. But I am joined by my good friend, Stacy.
Hi.
I hate you.
I'm really so nervous because you're just staring straight at me.
No, because it's crazy. You totally just you just introduced yourself like Weezy. I'm like, yo, this Mandy B, a.k.a. She's like, hi, I'm Stacy.
Okay, I'm the realest bitch ever.
There we
AKA
go.
A.k.a. Stacy, a.k.a. Gorgeous Stacy, a.k.a. the only one. GS, money sign boss bitch. Hey.
And it's not just us in the studio today. We are also joined by a lovely lady that you guys may or may not have seen, but you're going to learn her today. She's been on TV, and I'm going to let her just boast about all of her accolades that she's been through. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, hello. I'm Damona Hoffman, and I am a certified dating coach. And you may have seen me on the TV shows Hashtag Black Love on FYI or A Question of Love.
Oh, Black Love.
Yeah, and I write for BET and Washington Post and all kinds of magazines.
Blah, blah, say that.
You want me to come bigger with it?
No, I'm loving it.
I'm in Oprah Magazine. Hey. I'm in Elite Daily.
Okay.
This is what I do every day.
So you're an expert dating coach.
I coach people on how to date. And also how to stay in relationships if they want to.
That's the hard part.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Mandy needs you in her life.
Oh my God.
I'm so excited for this.
I'm not even going to lie. When you were coming, I was literally like, so you emailed us and I was like, oh yeah, we need this because I apparently need an intervention when it comes to dating. And so I'm super excited to be having the conversation we're going to have. Of course, we are going to talk about dating. We're going to dig into the mistakes of online dating and also dating as a millennial. A lot of us, what is millennial? What is that? 87 to 96 or something like that?
I don't know. 85? I know I'm a millennial. That's all I know.
I know. Me too. But I was born in 1990. But I feel like.
I think it's like 80.
85.
No,
right?
No. Hold on. Because I researched this because my man's 10 years older and he wouldn't. And he always talks shit about because I'm 10 years younger. And it says millennial was like 70. I don't know. I'll Google it.
It's not.
I think it's
80.
It starts at like 79.
So we don't know, basically.
We don't know what the fuck.
Millennial is just a state of mind.
Basically. Okay. I would say between mid-20s to late 30s. Would be, I would assume.
Agree with you.
Yeah, which would be about the millennials.
Okay, do you want the real answer?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, early 1980s.
Okay.
To mid 1990s, early 2000s.
Okay, Yep, that's about right. Then.
As early as 1981 to 1996. See?
There we go. 81 to 96. So this, this I guess, conversation is kind of going to apply to so many of you guys. I guess before we get started, too, instead of doing an icebreaker, because it's going to be pretty PG-13-ish. Yeah. Apparently, she has an 11-year-old daughter, and I don't know how to be even PG. So,
no.
I have a 9-year-old, too.
So. Do not let Mandy watch. She has no, like sexual filter at all.
But I didn't know, like, what you can and cannot say around a kid, because I feel like these conversations need to be had. So me and her daughter were watching the VMAs, and
this is not what I'm talking about.
I know.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna bring it up.
Okay,
so we're talking, and I see the girl, like Camila Cabello or whatever her name is, and so we're talking about Fifth Harmony. I was like, oh yeah, one of them date Ty Dolla $ign, and I was really heartbroken because I unfollowed him because he posted so much of him and this girl. And so she tells me, she updates, she's like, I think they broke up.
I'm in the bathroom, like, with the door closed, listening, not saying anything.
So she's not saying anything. I'm literally talking to her 11-year-old daughter, like, oh my God. So we're looking on Google about why they broke up. We're looking up his Instagram, her Instagram, like, oh my God, all the pictures have been deleted. And then I was like, dang, he's single now. He's fine. I'm about to slide in his DM. And we literally were just talking, but then, yeah, she also just entered middle school. And I was like, yeah, that was probably, no, here we go.
Yeah.
You even had the slide.
Okay, so I just, this is like, my daughter, she is 11, but she's very mature. A lot of my friends forget that she's 11, and my daughter will look at you and listen to you. It's like, to whatever you tell her, like, really? Yeah, like, mm-hmm, she thinks she's older. Anyways, she's talking about how she just got into middle school, and Mandy, she's just like, walking around like, oh, I remember middle school. Yeah, I was getting my titties sucked on in eighth grade.
You did not, man.
Oh my God, I fucking yelled from across.
I was just like, in middle school, that's when you do start like experience. Like, that's where I had my first tongue kiss. My friends were getting finger popped. I had my nipple sucked.
You don't say that to a fucking 11-year-old that just entered sixth grade.
You want her to be open. You want her to be open with you when that happens.
Yeah, it's just like very forward. I wasn't ready for her to say my titties were sucked on.
Yeah. I talked to my 9-year-old, but like, not, I don't go that far with it.
No,
that's so, a little bit much.
My daughter just stared at me like, because the last time she came, she said some crazy fucking wild shit.
Too. Ooh, I said crazy wild shit.
Yeah, she was on like FaceTime with somebody. I don't know, you know, one of her lovers, not lovers. You know, she's a bunch of boyfriends. And she was just saying the craziest shit. Do you remember that? And then Adriana, my daughter's named Adriana.
Oh,
just kept coming
wait,
out
it
the
was.
Room. She, yes, it was him.
It was him. Yeah. Who we were with last night. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, yeah.
Still happened.
Well, he was drunk and wanting me, like,
at this
we
point,
were talking
I just,
dirty.
Like, I just, my daughter just doesn't stay at the house. So she doesn't like Mandy because she can't stay home because she likes talking to Mandy, but I just can't filter her.
Oh, yeah. Like, me and her will be talking, and I'll be like,
there's no
filter. I'll be like, Adriana, cover your ears. And she's earmuffs, covering them, but earmuffs. It's like, girl, I know you hear us. That's cute that you're covering your ears, though. That's real cute. Okay, so we're going to get into our vanilla shit. Vanilla shit, if you guys are listening for the very first time, is our Sex in the News segment. So this one I picked especially for you as a dating coach because I would love to know what your thoughts are on this. So this comes from Mirror Online. It says that sex on the first date is important if you want a serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So illicitencounters.com, the UK's leading dating site for married people, has shared its staggering research into sex on the first dates. If you want a serious relationship, sex on the first date is crucial, according to new research. More than a third of men found love after sleeping with their partner on the first date. It has led to a proper relationship for 36% of women and 34% of men. But women are slightly more wary than men of partners who want to jump into bed straight away. I guess I wanted to know what your thoughts were on if dating on the first night is a telltale sign that you could or could not be in a serious relationship with that person.
I wish we can like record your face expression.
I'm not
right.
So good at,
yeah, hiding.
I wish you could. Yeah, I'm not good at, like, no poker face for me. No.
Okay.
First of all, I need to see that study because I don't know who they were who they were talking to. But here's what I'll say.
Yes.
I would never tell a client you will not end up in a relationship if you have sex on the first date.
Okay.
It can happen and it does happen all the time. But I'm trying to help people move into relationships that are going to last. And
okay,
statistically speaking, you're much more likely to have the relationship last if you practice slow love and if you get to know them over time. Now, I'm not really here for this, like, 90 days, like Steve Harvey says.
Right. That, I was going to ask that next.
That's a little bit much. Okay. Somewhere in between. But I feel like you have to, if you want to be in a relationship, like, you could just go on an app and have sex, and that's fine.
Right.
But if you want it to move into a relationship, I feel like you have to be at that point where there's still a little bit of mystery left. Because once you have sex, that question of, are we going to have sex? When are we going to have sex? What's it going to be like? It's already answered. And that just takes all of the anticipation out.
It's crazy that you said that, because to me, I do have kind of the thought process of, okay, let me get sex out of the way, because now I know if we're continuing after the sex is gone, now you are finding other reasons to be around outside of just sex. Like, we're having conversations, but it's not you manipulating your answers based on sex. No, why does that not make sense?
How are you getting sex out the way first? Because you're doing it backwards.
Okay, so here's the
thing. But I understand what you're saying. You're saying if you've already had sex, then it's like, well, what else is there if you're still sticking around? You're not just trying to get me.
Right. So, and that's the thing. So, listen, hear me out, Stacey. Okay. And for the listeners who are on board with you, to me, when you're dating somebody, I feel like that's where maybe the manipulation even comes in on the male side of things, because they're doing things the right way in order to get you into bed. So true. The dating, the maybe things they say as far as what their relationship status is, like all of the things that you ask when you're dating somebody, they're probably going to give you more answers that they're going to want to get you into bed with. So if you guys have sex already and the conversation continues, you can now probably be more of yourself to this person, because now you're no longer just trying to get laid or get this person in bed. That's already happened. Does that not make sense? So I think,
it makes sense. Like, there's just so many different ways to get into a relationship that it makes sense. But it's like, I just don't find that being the healthiest way to get into a relationship.
It's also weird because I just met someone. Shout out to you, Joe Budden, because I found possibly a love interest at your pool party. Sir, that was amazing. But the guy that I did meet at his pool party, we've been talking. And that's kind of the thing that we both realize. Like, when we realize we like someone or may want them for more than sex, we tend to wait on sex. And he's like, every time I've done that, it still hasn't happened. Like, it hasn't happened yet. Anything.
But don't you love that magic? And
I love
being courted.
Like, getting to know someone and the anticipation.
I want to get to know your
dick. I just like to be chased.
I don't even fucking like heads. So now you're just doing the most.
Head. I said chase.
Oh, I heard taste.
No, but I mean, I like that too. I just said, what the fuck did I just say? Chase. I said chase. Oh,
I don't know why I heard taste. I really don't.
No, well, that's because that's where your mind is when it comes to a relationship.
Shut the fuck up.
I will say for gay male clients that I've worked with, they say for them, that is so important. The sexual dynamic is so important that a lot of them do end up meeting on a dating app. They have sex first, and then the relationship develops.
It's so crazy.
So I am
because
kind of talking from more of the heteronormative.
Yeah, well, Dustin and Asante, shout out to them. They say that I'm a black gay male at heart. That's probably fucking why I am just. Definitely, but sex is a large component to me, and I genuinely don't feel like I could be in a long-term relationship with someone if the sex is bad. I also don't want to get into a relationship with someone who I like, because I talked about this with Felon Bay. Felon Bay was perfect. I loved being around him, his company. Okay, financially, he wasn't where I needed him to be, but outside of that, I knew that I would still probably need to get pleased from 24/7 or find sexual pleasure from someone else. Don't do this. See, here goes a real friend who's sick of hearing about 24/7. But I just don't want to get into a relationship knowing that I'm going to have to get something else because you're lacking it from someone else. Because then, okay, we just need to talk about not being monogamous. And that's also just a hard conversation to have out the gate as well.
That's why I feel like she's not ready to be in a relationship, because there's a lot of compromise.
But there's a lot of compromise.
It means also you haven't been in a relationship with the person that you want to go on that journey with. Yeah. And when you are in a relationship with someone that you want to continue to get to know better, you want to know on a deeper level, the sex does evolve as well.
Right.
Like this, I've been with my husband a long time.
But dicks don't grow.
Okay, how long?
16 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, but like the first time we had sex, it like it, if I had judged our relationship based on that.
Swear. Really? Yeah. Uh-huh. I feel that.
So if the sex is bad, you guys like have continued to try like to keep going?
And I don't want to say it was bad, but just, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It just happened. And if you're in a relationship with someone, you work on your sexual dynamic as well as the other elements of the relationship. And that being in that kind of relationship where you have mutual trust, you can talk about anything, you can ask for anything, and it's not weird or uncomfortable.
It's deeper than sex. It's a friendship. It's just like... It's like you're Carla, but a man version that you want to fuck.
Okay, don't bring up Carla because everyone thinks we already fucked because she was with me all.
I know. I'm
summer.
Saying I'm trying to like put them together. Like you know how you love talking to Carla all the time, even though you're always with her. Like imagine that just being like not Carla, but like the relationship that you have with her in a man.
It's so hard for me to.
Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Right. Yeah.
I mean, it just makes. I think it's hard for me because I'm big on like building platonic relationships with men. So when I find someone that I want as a friend, to me, sex or the idea of relationships can ruin that friendship. And we talked about this too. I feel like my friendships are above everything. Yeah. So I put my friends before, should I put my friends before family?
Which
like,
is great.
My friendships are like everything to me. So I don't really, like we were having the conversation, if my friends want to go on a trip, I don't care if I have a boyfriend. Hey, I'm going on a trip. I don't want to feel like I have to ask permission or tell someone what I'm doing every now and then. Like, there's just so many
it's
things about
permission,
a relationship.
It's being considerate.
Right, right. And I mean, there's also a danger in making your partner your everything. A lot of times people expect, like,
say that. Yeah. Say that. Hold on.
Fuck you.
Talk about stepping it. Oh, no.
No, I would love to hear about this because that's the thing that I feel like does happen with a lot of my friends. As soon as they do get in a relationship, they cut everyone off or they're only talking, they're venting about the sour things of their relationships. So you literally only hear about when they're going through something negative with a relationship. Other than that, when you get into a relationship, you cut off your friends. But also, I refer to it as like a Yelp review, which is why it's hard to it's hard to like gauge what people think of things because they only bring up when they really, really hate something. Like if you really hate the service somewhere, you're like, I'm going to leave an awful Yelp review. This was awful. But when things are going well, you don't feel the need to really tell people, hey, it's going well.
There are plenty of 5-star Yelp reviews.
Yeah.
You know, if something's really good, you talk about that too.
So when it's really good, and that's normally the puppy dog phase, but what about if it's a 3?
Or four. I find myself complaining, talking about a relationship when I'm irritated.
Yeah.
I don't talk about it when I'm happy because then I feel like I'm gloating and it's like, oh, I have a boyfriend or a fiance and, you know, he does all this stuff for me. He's so amazing. And you're like, okay, good bitch. You know? But when you tell them like, oh my gosh, he's so fucking annoying. Like he just will not let me go somewhere. And then it's like, oh, it's interesting. Like I cannot believe he won't let you go anywhere. Cece, you need to leave. You know, just why is that?
Yeah, but it's not only that. Like you even said that. Yeah. As someone who gets into a relationship, when you're with your partner, you become a hermit crab and you decide, okay, well, I don't want to spend time with my friends because now I want to spend all of my time with my lover or my boyfriend. And that becomes to me, that's kind of toxic in a sense. And so what have you seen to be the reason that people kind of distance themselves from friends and family when they get into relationships?
Okay. That's really two questions. Yes. So the first question is, why do people expect their partner to be everything? And
yes.
I think actually dating apps and online dating is a part of that.
Ooh.
Because now our dating pool is as wide as the world.
It's so
it
wide.
Used to just be it's people horrible. You knew, people your mama knew, like anyone that was in your immediate circle.
Right.
Now you can find your ideal match anywhere.
Right.
And if they're not ideal, then you swipe on to the next. And so now our expectation level has gotten higher.
Shit.
Right?
We live in like an our life is Black Mirror.
100%. 100%.
Just swipe to the left. I don't like you next.
Yeah. And that's how it's been for me with dating apps.
It does happen.
Yeah. I absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and get into our kink of the week. Guys, this one is pretty vanilla. So for you guys who are not into like swap spinning and cream pies, this may be for you. So the kink of the week for this week, and I would love to see maybe if you can guess just off of the Latin roots. This is what we do at our live show sometimes. So the kink of the week is melolagnia. What do you think melolagnia stands for.
Oh my God.
Use the Latin root.
Lag.
That ain't the. She's
looking at me to cheat. I'm looking at her too.
I don't even have a guess. Melalagnia.
Yes.
It's maybe mel, like melanin.
That's so cute.
No. I don't know. I don't know.
Can I give you a hint?
Yeah.
Ask me for a hint.
No.
like a melody.
Well, that pretty much said it.
No, she still doesn't.
Well, you better just tell me, Mandy.
Okay, so melalagnia is actually the arousal from music. And I wanted to bring this up because I actually have been seeing that more and more when I watch porn. I hate porn music, but I like music that plays that I've had playing maybe while I've had sex. So I wanted to know if there is any music or songs that turn you on.
I had this boyfriend in college that would always play Bjork.
What?
At first, I know, it's weird. I was like, this is so strange.
Wait, what? Bjork is that?
I know, I thought you knew because you made it seem like
is that like...
She's like this Icelandic...
I'm going to need you to sing it. Sing it. I know you know the song because you had sex to it.
No, it's a lot of like kind of electronic sounding. Like,
okay, makes sense what you don't know.
But it would not be what I would think because there's nothing in it that's sexual. But there was something about it, and maybe
were
it's
you
like,
intoxicated? Because that was my thing. No, okay,
no, but it was.
No, I'm turned on by music when I'm drunk.
Okay, what songs get you to where? Oh my God, I want to have sex tonight.
Honestly. You don't like it, but I really loved reggaeton. Like, it makes me so horny.
You like what?
Would not make me
reggaeton.
That does not make me. No, that actually drives my pussy up.
Because you guys are not fucking Spanish. Okay. That it's like very sexual. They be talking about how they're gonna fucking eat you or pussy and fuck you and it's really sexual. Like, oh, I want your fucking titties in my mouth, but this isn't like a Spanish language.
But see, it's in a Spanish language.
No, but it's in like a Spanish language. It's been
So sing it. How does it go? Say something really raunchy in Spanish that turns you on, but it's in Spanish. Let me see if it sounds sexy.
No.
That's what it sounds like. So that's the beat for you to sing to.
No, I don't. I can't. Pressure.
Sing.
Okay.
Name that tune.
No. Okay, come on. I'm nervous.
Come on, la flor.
That is not a good song. You're retarded.
Selena. To me, it's I'm cool with fucking that. Actually, it's weird. Like, hip hop can be on. Like, there's, of course, y'all know I watch K-porn. And there's like a few scenes, like the amateur
K-porn?
Ones. Gay porn.
Oh,
gay and
porn.
The
I thought you said K. I was like, Korean porn. That's cool.
Not K-pop. No,
K-porn.
And so the amateur porn, they actually have a lot of the music playing in the background. So like hip hop, like all your like Young Thug or like one of them actually plays. Who is it? I think it opens with Bow Wow. Ooh, it's the first thing I think about you when it's all on my mind. I said, ooh,
and that just makes your pussy soak.
It just was like. Oh, let's go. And scene. No, but I think I really do like R&B. I really like R&B. And I actually...
Ooh, like Donnell Jones or like...
I like, honestly, old Chris Brown.
Okay, or... Oh, yeah. What is that song? That Sex Me song? What is it? By Chris Brown?
Oh, well, apparently I said it really wrong. I said lay you down on my thing and it's take you down. Oh. So I really
that
like...
That one, I like
Let
that song.
Me take you down.
I really want to take
that
you
actually
down.
Gets me... It makes my pussy... Look, my pussy's wet right now as we're talking. no, but I do. So for you guys who like listening to music maybe while you have sex, or if a song comes on and you're like, oh my God, now I need to hop on dick, how about you write us in? I would love to maybe start some sort of sex playlist for us.
And
so
check out Bjork, really.
Yeah, right. Check out maybe
how
we'll add that to the list.
B-J-O-R-K.
BJ.
See? Good.
There you go. It was in it. So we're going to now get into our horrible decisions. So guys, take out your pens, your pencils, type on your work computers, because I know y'all are at your desks, but apparently not all of you are. So get your notes out in your phone and, oh, okay. It has little dots and stuff. So get ready to take notes. We are going to talk about the mistakes of not only online dating, but getting through the era of online dating as a millennial, and maybe the mistakes that we're making and how we can go about doing this shit successfully. because is there a way to be successful with doing it?
Many of my clients have done it. I'm going to tell you how.
I love this. So let's start it off. Like, Damona literally hit me and was like, let's talk about fucking mistakes and dumb online dating. And Anna was all capitals. She said dumb online dating. Damona did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she literally, and it was in capital letters.
It makes a lot of sense for the millennials because I have a lot of friends, not pointing any fingers, but I have other friends too, that they don't know how to date or date on. They just don't know how to date.
So what is dumb online dating? You definitely wrote that. What do you consider dumb online dating?
Well, there's a lot of online dating app mistakes that people make. I think overall, people first want to blame the app. They're like, oh, dating apps don't work. And it's like, valid. If you've been on all the dating apps and none of them work, maybe the problem isn't the dating app.
The personal problem.
Damn, say
it's
that.
But it's not necessarily that you're the problem. It's the way that you're putting yourself out there that's the problem, right?
Just read me. Because I literally just deleted all of my goddamn dating apps because it's not working. And I was like, this shit is not working. But now I feel like you're reading me because maybe I'm not working. Damn. Okay.
Well, it's also like figuring out, like, what do you want out of it? Are you doing it for sex? Are you doing it for a relationship? What is your goal?
Right.
And then we work backwards to figure out, well, how are you presenting yourself? What pictures are you choosing? What is your profile saying about you? And then how are you moving yourself in the direction of what you really want?
Okay. So what are, I guess, the common mistakes that we do to lead to someone like me who has been very unsuccessful with online dating?
A lot of times people choose pictures that they think someone else will think is attractive. They'll just choose a generic photo that is like, everybody will like this. And you're better off having a profile that fewer people respond to, but that the right people respond to, than trying to catch everybody in your inbox, right?
So cleavage photos are bad. I guess for girls and guys, what would be the number one mistake when choosing your photos, I would say?
Cleavage photos are bad if you're looking to be in a relationship because immediately, you know, the cleavage is going to send a different message. You have to leave a little bit of mystery. But I actually use little tricks. I use tricks of the mind that can get your profile noticed. So you have to think about the mentality from the other side of the coin, like who's looking at the profile, right?
Okay.
So put yourself in their shoes, and you know how you swipe on an app, right? It's just like picture, 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 picture. Hopefully, <you're> like some right swipes, but a lot of left swipes.
Right.
And you're just going based on the primary picture and basically the one sentence bio, right?
Yes.
So that primary picture is everything. And so many times people create a profile and they're just like, well, I just want to get online and I'm not really going to put that much thought into it. And here's some pictures from Instagram and then they're on.
Right.
So you have to really put thought into what you're saying with that first picture. And I talk about using the three C's in your profile.
Three C's in your profile. Break
it
down.
It's going to be easy. And I'm going to keep it clean. It's easy to remember.
All right. Pens and paper. Take it out. Three C's.
First C is color.
Okay.
It's been shown in studies, in real studies, not like the one that you mentioned earlier. That particularly men will respond to the color red differently than any other color.
That's so true.
Yeah, so if they see, what they did in the study was they showed men pictures of women with different color borders around it, and they started rotating the same pictures back in with different color borders. Mm-hmm. And the men were rating the attractiveness of the pictures of the women that they saw. And they rated the women with the red border more attractive than the women with the green border, even though
it's the same picture.
Same picture. And so if you think about it from a biological perspective, red is something that attracts. Like we put red lipstick on because it does.
I was going to say the red lipstick. Yeah.
It emulates what happens, you know, in the animal kingdom. Like we're animals. So you want to use the color red. Also think of like stop signs. You want them to stop. And actually go further
that
into your profile.
That is very fucking interesting.
Now we're going to see like 10,000 profiles with red.
I was
with
just going to say that. Yeah,
nobody will stand up.
Well, I'm going to be like, I know what show you listen to. Okay, what is the second C?
So the second C is context. This is telling your life story through your photos. Like, if you just have a bunch of bikini shots where you're like high angle.
What
like
if
cleavage,
I like the beach? What if that's telling you I like to go to the beach?
If it's telling you I like the beach, that's great. But it can't be every shot.
She said in a red, bikini.
That would be the picture to use. The red okay. bikini, right. But you want to have throughout your profile, you know, about 5-6 photos max. Like, you don't need to tell your entire life story. This is not your timeline. That this is your dating profile. And I'm not a huge fan, while we're on the subject, of linking your Instagram.
I agree. I don't do it.
I'm not a fan of it. It's too much information.
Yeah. That's a ton of information. And then especially for me, like, I like to appear as normal as possible while I'm on dating apps. And, of course, the K behind my name on Instagram and the abundance of photos I do have, and a lot are in bikinis now.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would give them a different idea about me.
To look.
Yeah, calm down. I do show my ass. Okay.
No,
lying.
I said the ads. What's wrong with you?
We need to get your ears checked. Don't know.
Not
you
her
said
throat.
Ads. Oh, I and I'm thinking
it
ass.
Was probably the sand in the beach that went in her ear.
You know, right? Probably.
Shots.
I don't connect my Instagram. I don't know what the third C is, but while we're on context of photos, I wanted to ask your thoughts between selfies and full body images. What you feel like is, because I feel like that's my problem, because I swipe girls as well, but I am shallow. I'm just as shallow with women as I am with men. And I don't know if I want to necessarily swipe someone who is only from the neck up, because then I feel like, okay, you're hiding something. So on my profile,
isn't there multiple pictures? Like, can't you just have
but a lot of people still just, like,
they
don't put,
show anything.
They don't.
They should probably have three types of pictures they put, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so,
maybe like a fit. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to give you a dating coaching certificate.
Yes. So I guess the types of photos before we get into the third C, how many should be selfies? How many should be full body? Especially as
a
woman.
You only need one full body, but you do need one full body. And by full body, it doesn't have to be like literally head to toe. It has to be three quarters. Like that you have to show.
I want
to
see the whole goddamn body. I ain't swiping from three quarters either. Let me see that. Let me see if you got some thighs or something. Like, I would like to see the full body, but I say that because I remember I was more self-conscious when I was bigger. At putting full body pictures.
Same. I would just put I just started just taking face selfies. That's it.
Yeah. And so maybe for someone who's not into bigger women, like, my face can photograph very thin sometimes. And so.
Especially laying down on the bed.
Yeah. Oh, girl, that was my, that's my whole thing. So that's where I go to, where maybe you even feel like you're getting catfished when you meet someone. It's like, whoa, she looks nothing like her pictures. But then you go back and you realize, oh, well, she didn't even have full body pictures.
Well, a little bit on that, we have expectations that we bring into the date when we meet someone offline.
Uh-oh.
Which is one of the reasons, just sidebar, we'll come back to the third C.
Yes.
But another mistake is having conversations that go on and on online and then waiting months or sometimes even years to actually move offline.
Won't do it.
That's why catfish is a thing, because people are having these fantasy relationships that aren't actually happening in the real world. And online dating apps work as, it's just a tool. It's just a tool to connect you. But you have to actually meet face to face to know if it's a real relationship.
So for all of our listeners, both men and women, who are swiping and in the messages currently doing online dating, how long, what is the time frame do you feel for someone to be in the app talking, possibly now they're moved to text messages? How long do you think you should talk to someone that you met online dating before you actually meet in person?
And 1 to 7 days.
Ooh.
Max. 7 days max.
Why is the max 7 days?
Oh, there's so many reasons. But one, you create anticipation for this person, and they can never be the person that you created in your mind. So they're going through all your face shots and they're like, ooh, I wonder what her body's going to look like. And I wonder what her personality is going to be like. I wonder what she's going to sound like. And you create this whole fantasy, and that person is then competing against the image of who you created. So that's one reason. Then another reason is that there's just so much volume right now.
Yeah, I was going to say that. If you take too long to meet me.
I think it's like weaving the good and bad.
Yeah, but even if you take too long to meet me,
you're like
online,
way down in the chat.
I was going to say, I'll forget about you because we haven't met. I'm still going to probably be actively swiping. Mm-hmm. And so now we're at the 7-day mark, and you may have been the only person I swiped 7 days ago, but now since then I've met three other people that I've swiped.
Like chain dating or something? I used to have a lot of clients, especially older clients, that would date online all the time. But they would set up dates like all week long, and just like go for 10 minutes. And one of them would
10 minutes.
No, one of them was a bitch. She was like, "Okay, I'm gonna go meet you for 10 minutes. If I don't like you after 10 minutes, then we're just gonna have to part ways."
Oh wow!
But she was like,
"So I will take a part of that." Okay. I tell my clients basically an hour for the first date. An hour.
Oh, this is
and
interesting.
Always coming like from somewhere
like Starbucks or tea dates, just and then from there be like, okay, we can go to lunch maybe.
Yeah, but 10 minutes is a little 10 minutes bit much. Is a little much. But yeah, okay. I say like have a drink, have coffee, go for ice cream, whatever. But you don't really need more than 90 minutes max to just see, is this somebody that I want to see again?
Yeah, you and can see if you can vibe with them.
And I like
you
have that
to
though.
Think of it also again from their perspective. You want that to leave them wanting more. If you talked about everything and then the energy that you left the date on felt low, like it was like, oh, well, it was really good and I was really attracted to him at first, but then we stayed for 3 hours and we ran out of things to talk about, that's what they'll remember. Right. They'll remember the low energy and they'll be like, should I call her again? I don't know. And then swipe next. So if you leave the date feeling like, oh, we just got started. Right. And I always say be coming from somewhere and be going to somewhere. And so then like your client is right in saying like, well, okay, after 10 minutes. No, I
like
it's
coming
a
from
little
the gym
harsh.
Or going to the gym.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So like, and I had always a pre-date ritual when I was dating. Like I would come from the gym and then I would always say like, oh, I have to meet up with a friend or I have to get up early for work or whatever. Or like, oh, my mom's going to call me. Anything. It could be literally anything. But if you set the expectation that the date's not going to last for the whole night and then then when it comes time for the date to end, they're not like, oh, well, this bitch kicked me to the curb after, I mean, 10 minutes.
I actually really like that.
I had a little dating thing too.
What?
I want to wonder what you think about this. I would always bring a friend on a date.
No. Hell no. Hell no.
No?
I literally just talked about this on an episode, and I'm not sure if we dropped it, but to me, as soon as I bring a friend on a date, it's the epitome of friend zoning somebody. It's the epitome of this is no longer a date.
I just want to see how you vibe.
To me.
And then if I don't like you.
To me, it's not a date.
First date.
Okay, I think I would just do that with guys that I'm like, I don't know if I want
to. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To me, it's not a date then. Mm-hmm. I literally will bring a friend if I don't want them to think it's not a date. At that point, it's a group outing.
Okay. So as we're talking about millennial dating, that is also one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah,
this is
agreed.
This is dumb offline dating. Group dates.
Group
and
dates
like
are
I don't
awful.
And
so
dates
dumb.
Where you don't
yeah,
know if it's
dumb.
A date or hangout. You know, it's no,
agreed.
It creates too much confusion.
What is the third?
State your purpose.
But what, then it would the third, lead into like thing. A single date afterwards.
No, I disagree.
Okay, well, whatever.
Okay. I think you're going to like the third C.
Uh-oh.
Because I think this Cock. Might be... This might unlock no. the whole dating app world for you.
It's called cum.
It is not.
No.
It's character.
Oh, okay.
This is actually showing your personality, showing the wild side of you that
Andy
you...
wants the character of the dick.
Right. I need that to be characterized, bitch.
Okay, sorry. Go.
They'll get kicked off the app.
Long, hard.
Later, you can see the character of that.
But long I'm saying... lasting. No, oh let me, look, God, look. Okay, I'm just
wondering. I'm saying you show... Yes. Don't be afraid of that part of you.
Okay.
That's, and I know you've talked about that on the show before, too.
Yes.
Like, letting that be an element of your profile. It doesn't have to be every picture is crazy, but
right.
letting that part of your personality that's different from everybody else come through in your profile. And this is what I see. This is the biggest dating app mistake I see. People are trying to be something
sexy
to everybody.
But they also,
yeah.
they want to look
But they're not
sexy.
Trying to right. be themselves. Yeah. I'll put in like Halloween pictures for clients, goofy pictures to show their personality, to show their sense of humor.
Right.
And then they're more likely to get a response on those because people see like, oh, I don't have to be a certain thing for this person. I can just come and be myself.
I like that.
Okay, so I want to see your profile next. And I want to see
I don't even know. Let me see if I have. So I've literally been just deleting these apps.
I want to see what she has on her profile, too.
Damn, mm-hmm. First off, calm down. They're good.
I'm really good at judging people's
but
profile.
But I don't have a dating app on my phone.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think about emojis in the bio?
Hate it.
Hate it.
I think it's childish, just basic. Like, I don't want to see a fucking palm tree, a plane, because the plane means you like traveling.
I don't want to see basketball because you like basketball. Out of the emoji's face.
Like, no, I don't like even when people talk to me in emoji. I don't know what. Can you speak? Like
we can emoji after a year, maybe.
Yeah,
you would not,
no,
like you would not allow any emojis.
I mean, maybe an emoji like at the end of a paragraph.
A paragraph.
But I don't want to like guess what you're into because you put fucking, you know.
Okay, yeah.
I just ask because I usually said that, but I feel like communication is changing. This is what I love about the fact that I've been doing this for so long. I've seen so many evolutions in the way people use dating apps.
But it's not
like, hi, I'm Yolanda, smiley, emoji face. Like, shut the fuck up.
I'm not
up.
Even going to lie. I want to go back to ASLP. Age, sex, location, pick.
Like, real, yeah.
Yeah, but so to me, I think not only the dating apps, but shit, people are now asking for your Snapchat before your number, I've noticed on the dating apps.
So
when they get...
It's not personal.
No, but that's the thing too. Like, when you get all of these social media apps, you're now communicating via the dating app. Now you guys maybe got into exchanging Instagrams. So now you're DMing each other. Then they ask for your Snapchat. So now you're communicating via Snap. Nothing is personalized and you're having all of these ways to communicate with me, but yet you're not just picking up the phone and calling me. You're not just doing the basic necessities of talking, which is what I'm seeing. People can have a full-blown conversation in text messages and these apps, and then you go on the dates and it's fucking awkward.
I know.
They don't know how to talk in person, which is why I feel like it's hard to take that date off of the app, because now you're meeting someone, you guys connected through text messages, you guys connected through the apps, you thought
that's
he was
the
funny
worst.
And then you meet him and it's like he doesn't even
like,
know how to give eye contact.
Is your personality? Mm.
Yeah. So,
well, I for a long time I've had my clients do a phone call before the date.
Ooh.
In between the texting and and I
how about FaceTime?
Oh, no, not FaceTime. Okay. I'll tell you why, cuz you only get
break it down.
You only get once to make that first impression. You'll get one chance. So if you're just like, "Oh, well we'll go on FaceTime," cuz you're like, "I got to check him out and make sure that he's not crazy,"
I want to check for catfish though.
Right?
So I'll FaceTime someone. Right. But yeah, I may not even have my makeup done. And of course, to me, I do want to put my best foot forward.
And you forget that they're also looking at you.
Or they just
you,
call
right?
you randomly I on forget. FaceTime like,
"Oh no, definitely not." Uh-huh. Don't you can't you can't call anybody just out of the blue.
So
now.
I have I've met someone, Muslim Bay. Uh-huh. We met on Hinge.
I love all your
So me and Muslim Bay met on Hinge, and it's ironic. I was literally just on there just to get fire rapid questions, because the way Hinge is set up is super dope. Like, it's like icebreaker questions. So you really get to learn the person a little bit more. So I was on there, and I had a match. I matched him back, and we literally were like up all night in the app, then exchanged numbers, and we're texting. And we planned a date almost immediately within the first week. He's like, "If it goes beyond that, I'm just going to probably lose interest. So let's set up a date." So we're talking. And before I set up a date, because he seemed so cool, I was like, "I'm just going to FaceTime you real quick just to see that you are who these pictures are. And just to validate." I can't validate if you're a serial killer or not, but at least I could see if you are who you say you are.
Right.
And then I immediately hung up. So it wasn't a quick FaceTime. It was just to verify that he was catfish. I don't see why you can't do it that fast.
You can do it, but I've always said, if you're going to do any kind of video chatting, you got to show up like you would on a date.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So maybe you line them up back to back, and then, you know, you get
say
your face on, you get
face.
Your lashes done by Stacey, and then you're like, "All right, let me just check in real quick with each of them." So I mean, right now I'm kind of on the fence about the phone call, because I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, it's just so much work." But I find my clients do not get ghosted on the first date. They do not end up sitting across from someone that they thought was really funny and actually can't carry on a conversation.
Right.
And it only needs to be like 10 minutes. Like, just to see, do the things that you say in your profile check out? Are you, like, I had my husband call me. I put all my my rules out the window when I met him. And then I was like, oh, wait, rules. Oh, I got to backtrack.
I found my rules after I met him. I was like, fuck this. Like,
we have to change things. Wait, there's going to be some changes.
Your rules. What are rules?
I had so many rules. Like, only have one drink on the first date. Because I knew for me.
Oh, that rule never worked for me. Oh, that was awful.
Well, I went on a date with Muslim Bay and was like, just so you know, I know you don't drink, but nigga, I drink.
Because
so.
When I have two drinks and it just goes like, I get so happy. Like, oh, let's have another drink. And then it's like, I forget how many drinks I take, and then it's like, wait, I didn't want to fuck you.
Right.
And now you're in bed.
Like, and regret. Here we are. Sets in.
Yeah, you know?
And I know that's like the point where I make the horrible decision. So I was like, one drink, that's it. But I did have two drinks with him. And then I saw his profile and I was like, you are everything I'm looking for. Like, when can we meet? And then we set a date and I was like, oh, wait, I didn't do a phone call. So then I was like, I said to him, I need you to call me so I can make sure you're not a serial killer.
That's
which is like,
funny.
What would a
that's,
serial killer sound like on the phone?
Apparently, yeah.
Hello, Demona.
Right.
Do you want to meet on Monday still?
All right.
So you met your husband through a dating app?
It was online dating back then. There were no dating apps. Yeah, right. It was called Nerve.
Oh, I've never even heard of that one.
And it was sort of for the, it was tied into like LA Weekly personals and and The Onion. And it was sort of like for, I guess, like artsy, I don't know.
Yeah, there's an app now that Weezy talks about a lot, Raya, which is like a
not
app.
Like Raya at all. Like Raya.
You know it what? Was one not of my like clients Raya. Was saying, I guess you have to like send an invitation. You get one invitation.
You do.
But I heard it was directors and stuff like that that are on there
in New York and creatives. Like it's all creatives,
and they have to show like their ID, social. Like you have to put all this shit.
It was more like the like starving Raya? Artists on. On Nerve, but yeah, Raya is only you have to be invited to be
and
a
it's
part
industry
of it.
People.
Industry people, you have to submit your Instagram.
That's why you don't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like.
Oh,
it.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said you didn't like it. I'm so sorry.
I said it was not at all like that.
Oh, okay.
I'm careful. I work with a lot of dating apps, so I'm not going to say I like or dislike any of them.
Of course.
What I'll say from Raya is that there are a lot of people there who are there because they got in. And they're like, oh, well, I'm elite and I'm in Raya. And then they never move offline. So for most of my clients that have gotten in, that have used it, I have a client that's been on it for almost 2 years and has never, ever been on a date from it.
So I want to ask you, this
and she's gorgeous.
This is before we get into the home mail, because I have found as a black woman who only dates black men that dating apps have been hard because I'm swiping 50 white guys before I can get to someone black. And then shout out to XD.
Is there not like a black dating mobile?
Yeah, you know, so that's actually what I was about to ask.
It's funny.
If there's like.
I just noticed.
I tried Soul Swipe. No, ma'am.
So I just noticed all of the black dating apps basically have vanished from the app store. So Soul Swipe's gone. And
why?
Meld, I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
And I was like, I like just turn around and realize like, wait, what happened? There is one called BLK that is still out there. And then, somebody told me about another one. I'll look it up for you.
What about
in a
black
minute.
People meet? Well, I know that. Well, that an app?
No, well, that I'm sure it's transformed into an app, but it's online.
Okay.
Like Match.com,
Match
Black
owns,
People
like,
Meet.
Every
and then
app.
I know there's another one that I just heard about. Olani from the Laid Bear podcast, shout out to her. She does, it's called Highly. But it's not specific to black people, but it is a black owned app. So it's HILY or something like that. But
that is a problem. And like
there's a
even
huge problem with me with dating apps because of that.
When they launched Coffee Meets Bagel, they were like, oh, we'll do a beta with one of your clients. And I gave this is what like way in the beginning.
Right.
And they were launching in LA and I had a black client that was only dating black men. And like it literally got to the end in a week. She was like, they were like, we have no matches for you. And that's a problem when you're doing the swipe apps, particularly because you can't filter really.
Right. So that's why I did. I just wanted to know if you knew of any other ones, but Hinge. Hinge has been the only dating app.
Also
that
now owned by Match.
Really?
Yeah, they've bought it.
Oh, wow. So Hinge,
tell you what this other
Hinge is where I met Muslim Bay. And Hinge allows you to do deal breakers. And for me, a deal breaker is someone who's white. Like, I'm not interested. So I literally
you know what they say? Once you go white, Wait.
No, don't know that thing.
He's so, don't knock it, though. Don't knock it.
Hinge has been the only one that I've been able to specify whether they are, you know, black or wifey. Other. Or
wifey. Somebody told me about wifey.
Wifey. Wifey is a black dating app.
Apparently so. Okay. I have not looked at it yet, but. See, I come in here with all kinds of information.
Look, you
for
do.
You.
Look, a whole bunch. I'm like, okay. So I'm excited now. You were going to go ahead and let me check us. Okay, we're doing good on timing. So we're going to talk about our home mail. If you guys want to send in your home mail, you can do so by emailing us at horribledecisions@gmail.com. So this one, I'm just going to read the title just so you can know what we're dealing with here. The title for this week's home mail is Escorts. Do I have a problem? Over the last 2 to 3 years, I've had experiences with escorts. It started as an exciting experience whilst at university, but kind of progressed into a more occasional thing. I've been with around 4 to 5 each year and have enjoyed my experiences, usually going for girls that are down to earth and laid back, offering the girlfriend experience, not porn star or trashy types. But I do like trying kinky new experiences with escorts I'm comfortable with, too. I've had a strap-on. The problem is I'm worried I may become too reliant on escorts for new and regular sexual experiences. It doesn't help that I'm kind of shy when approaching girls, too. Also, I'm worried that regular girls won't be too interested in getting as kinky as me, and I'm really enjoying trying new things like BDSM. I love being dominated now. What are your opinions? What should I do?
This is a man or a woman?
This definitely sounds like a man. Mm-hmm. Okay. It sounds like a man. So basically they are, I guess, feel like they're becoming addicted with having sex with escorts.
They're paying on use on him too. All that.
I assume he said he does like to be dominated. So this would be in the kinky realm where he may not feel comfortable bringing up these kinks to regular people. However, of course, I realize even with me just having a podcast about sex that people are more open to talking about sex. As the same with porn stars, you can be in the group of girls who do nothing surprises them. So I guess his concern is ever being able to date a quote unquote regular girl, because he's not only shy, but it's bringing the kinky world to regular people.
I think it is a problem.
It is.
That he is. It's not just the dating escorts or going out with escorts and having sex with escorts that is the problem. It's the fact that he never has to actually risk to share anything about himself, to ask a woman out, to even chat on a dating app. It takes a little bit of effort,
It does.
A little bit of risk. And if he's never going to experience that, then he's going to continue to feel shy, as he says it.
Right.
And I would not assume that regular girls aren't into your kink, right?
No, I think you have to talk to them.
And that might be the thing. He just doesn't know how to talk about it. So I feel like when he feels like he's putting a dollar sign on it, he feels more confident in asking for these things because he feels
he's buying it.
Right. So you're getting what you pay for. As opposed to dealing with a regular girl, you are going to have to maybe be like, so this is what I'm into. Is this something you would be like? Yeah, I think the dynamic of just communicating that you're into these things is what is scaring him.
I mean, but it's what scares a lot of people. Open up right away. I think you just kind of get to know someone, and then eventually you meet up.
But he has to start.
I mean, that's what a relationship is. Like,
yeah, but that's so weird because I open up so early about the things that I'm into.
Extremely early.
That's
if he wants a relationship, I would think that it's like, just take your time, because like, if you're going to be with someone, you don't know how long you're going to be with them for. And it's like, you don't want them obviously to judge you right away. If you want, like, I don't know, whatever he's into, but
you know, what's weird?
You slowly start opening up. I feel like you learn stuff about your partners still till this day.
Absolutely.
Cause like, even with my situation, like he was like, oh, I didn't want you to judge me. I'm like, I'm not going to judge you.
And we've been
together for 5 years.
After you've been with someone for a while too, like 16 years, like there were things that he brought up early on that I was like, no, not into that.
But you grow
that
into
after
it.
16 years, yeah. I'm like, eh, fine. Like, let's try it. You're just like, whatever. If you want to keep the relationship fresh, you're like, we'll try it. But he has to get over the hurdle of even taking the risk and talking to women and like feel that there's sometimes he might not get his need met. He might get rejected.
Right.
And that he's okay.
Oh, and I've done that recently, especially with dating. So like I said, I open up actually almost immediately of the things that
I'm
into.
Do you think she has an issue with doing that?
What?
Opening up that fast?
I don't.
Just talking, bitch.
I just want you to have a successful relationship one day.
No, but because this is such a big part of her life, who she is and what she does, I think it's appropriate for you to bring it up early on because you don't want people then going and like checking out your Instagram.
Well, they are. Well, it's
out,
the Instagram and listening to the podcast. Right. So, like the guy that I just met at the pool party, our first conversation was about sex clubs and polyamory and open relationships and monogamy. And so this was like a conversation, mind you, I don't remember it all because I was highly intoxicated. So we're going to probably have to redo that conversation. But to me, seeing the comfortability of these things, so I'll bring it back. And I think I was just having this conversation just amongst friends, but there was a guy recently that I was talking to, super good looking, definitely sexual, like attraction.
Yeah.
And we started talking about what we were both into because, as I said, I talk about the things that I like very early because I want to be sure that we're going to have sex that I'm going to be able to come from. Like, there's things that I want in sex, and I want to know that you're willing to do those things. And I remember I brought up the kinky aspect, and, of course, pegging was brought up. And his response to that was like, thank God I didn't fuck him. He literally was like, wait, a guy let you do that to him? He was like, actually, now I don't... Listen to how, like, ignorant this sounded.
Oh, my God.
He literally said, well, I don't really know if I want to have sex with you now because if a guy allowed you to peg him with a strap on, I know that that guy has had sex with other men.
Whoa.
And they're literally, and he said, I just don't think, you know, he's like, not that I'm calling you dirty or anything. And of course, brought in that whole thing and was literally like, I just don't want to have sex with a girl who has had sex with a man who has sex with men. He's like, you like gay men.
So he just assumed this whole situation.
Went like so beyond with it. And I was just like, thank God I didn't open my legs to you for one, because you're ignorant. But for two, for you to genuinely think that every woman you've had sex with, you know, that you know all of their sexual history and who their partners have had sex with just based off of a kink that someone may enjoy. Like, we literally went down a rabbit hole and I just started, like, he was spewing homophobia and, of course, even...
Better that you found out now.
Yes. So to me, bringing up those things early allowed me to see where he is in his mindset. And yes, maybe 2 years from now, that may change. Like, he could be one that's open. Right. But to see how closed-minded he was that early, I was like, okay, I'm not even going to waste my time moving forward. Like,
okay, just a disclaimer, because I love Mandy to death, and I don't judge her at all for whatever however she goes. Because I don't want people like, oh, she's, like, attacking her. I just want to know, like, if there's another way maybe that she can, like, talk to a guy where it's not. But her life is very sexual. So, yeah, but like she said, she just goes straight into fucking pegging. Like, it's kind of like slowly open into it.
But I'm also just saying that I've done it. I don't have to peg every person I'm with, which is also the misconception of me having that kink. I'm okay with us not pegging at all. I've never pegged 20.
Not bringing it up.
I've never pegged 24/7. I would like to know what my partner is into, or what the kinkiest thing they're into. To me, it's just a conversation. Me saying I like pegging doesn't mean, oh my God, I won't have sex if you don't let me peg you. It's literally like, hey, this is a thing I'm into.
Right.
I brought up the story. There was a guy that I met online, and he told me that he wanted to gag and fit my entire foot in his mouth.
Wow.
This is what he was into. And he's like, I really love.
Wow.
Yeah, he wanted. I told him, I said, I don't think you'll be able to. He's like, oh, yes, I will, though.
Let me see your feet.
And look.
Oh, yes, I will, though.
No.
Bitch. And that's a thick-ass foot.
No, my foot is kind of thick. But this is what he was into.
Yeah.
And I let him know, well, I don't know if I would really be into that. But I didn't look at him any different because that was his kink.
Right.
I think that we should all be able to talk about our kinks. So I feel like the problem, even with the guy in the home mail, is that there's some level of shame to what he feels like he enjoys. Bringing up the strap on, being dominated. Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes from. It's not that what a regular girl's going to think.
Right, yeah, no.
I think
it's
the shame that he feels like, damn, I don't think he embraces it. So going to a sex worker makes sense for him because he feels like he's going to be judged or not be able to bring up this part of him to people. I want people to like me, know me, and all of me.
I mean,
Look, I she's just like fuck well, you, stop bringing that
up.
I'm
trying to say this without sounding like I'm a loser or anything, but I feel like he needs to love himself in order for other people to love him and him to be secure in who he is. He needs to kind of like accept who he is and just be himself and not be someone else.
Well,
and, you know,
because he's always paid for those things to be done, he's making the assumption that no one's regular girls wouldn't be into that.
Agreed. Right.
I mean, don't you listen to this podcast?
But there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast and they're still learning themselves. Okay. Trust me, everyone that listens to this podcast.
But I mean, I think it would give them kind of like a oh wait, there's people like me out here in this world,
which is what this show has done, right? Thankfully. But there's still so many people that are still just like, okay, damn, I realize that this is something that I like to do, but now, okay, how do I express this to my partner, or how do I express this to the people I'm dating? Damn, is this something I can even share with my friends? There's so many people that listen to this podcast and are like, thank you, ladies. I wish I had friends like you, because there's even we judge each other as friends for what we do behind closed doors.
Right.
So there's still just a level of uncomfortability of sex and shame about the things that we like in it. So to me, within dating, I want to see how open-minded someone is. Whether they're into the things I'm into or not, that's fine. But I want someone to be able to comfortably tell me what they like and don't like.
Yeah.
Comfortably explain to me what their level of kink is and what they want to experience. Right. Because I want to do that with a person.
With this being your work, too, it's impossible to escape it. Like a first date conversation. As soon as I tell people, like, I host the Dates and Mates podcast, they're like, oh, you're a dating coach? I want to know X, Y, Z.
Right.
Like, every interaction I have becomes like
dating advice. And I feel like that's why.
But even when we back to him, in his case, I just think he needs to find a little more confidence within himself to just date normally.
You are right. 100%.
You're totally right, Stacey.
100%.
Thanks, I like being
you're
right.
Finally right, because bitch, you've been wrong all. No, I'm just kidding.
So, I'm never wrong.
I know. I'm not going to lie. When we were looking at you like, no, bitch, you're wrong, you were like, oh. How dare you say such a thing? No, but I love this conversation. And so a lot of us are in, unfortunately, this dating cesspool because it fucking sucks. So for someone,
wait, stop. It does. No,
dating does
stop.
Suck.
You it have does, to it also like it adjust mindset around it.
Say that shit. Okay.
You have
read
to
me
adjust
again.
Your mindset around
read
it.
Me.
Because if you're going into it with the expectation that it has sucked in the past and it's going to suck again,
true,
you're going to repeat that same experience.
True.
So that's the first place to start, man.
True.
Okay, read me again. So for any of our listeners that are interested in maybe signing up for some dating coaching from you or listening to your podcast, everything, go ahead and drop everything. Also, everything that Damona says now will be in the description of this episode so that you guys can click on it, check her out, and get some more tips. So go ahead and let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, I give dating advice like this every week on the Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman podcast.
I'm going to have to come on there so you could like give me a dating intervention. I know you're coming to New York. Maybe we can do that because I know I leave tomorrow.
Yes, please but give her a dating intervention.
Oh my God. Are you
come
really
through.
My friend? I fucking
love you.
Hate you.
I am your friend. I want the best for you.
Oh, I will do that for you.
No, we
for
can
sure.
maybe go down on how I've dated even over just the last year and maybe how I can improve.
I want to put all my friends in the room and just give them like a, what is that called when it's like you give like a drug addict, you put them in a room and then like
it's like AA, well, intervention,
no,
right?
Intervention.
Is it
yeah.
like in your family gets there? It's like yeah. here you like, are and here I am and there's my
your dating
friend.
Life has affected my life in the following ways.
Yeah, no shit.
Your dating problems.
Okay, so we have the Dates and Mates podcast.
The Dates and Mates podcast.
When do you drop? And where can
every
they find
Monday.
It? Oh, just like Horrible Decisions, guys.
Right? I know.
So if you guys
every
wanna,
Monday.
You know, you guys want to listen to something on your Monday commute,
feature.
You know, there we go. We have two podcasts that you can listen to now on Mondays.
Yeah. And then I have a lot of resources on my website, DamonaHoffman.com or on datesandmates.com. So I have a profile starter kit. If you're just like, okay, I want to date online in a totally different way. It hasn't worked before. We can refresh your profile. You can write your own profile. It's like, remember Mad Libs, like where you used to write in? Like the
that must be before my time.
Oh my God. No, my kids
lying.
Do
I'm
it. Your kids
oh
don't do
what
it.
Is, what wait, is Mad Libs?
Mad Libs?
So it was like
TikTok.
you fill in the blank. They change the words. It's like it's like a story, and then they change certain words, and then you fill in a word, and then it becomes a funny story.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So
gotcha. That's
it's
cute.
Like fill in the blank
that's
dating
cute.
Profile. So I've taken profiles that have worked for clients of mine before, and I've basically rearranged it so that you can build your own profile, just kind of cut and paste and put your own words into the
I
story.
I like that because so that's the hardest part is like,
everybody says, I don't know what to say.
Describe yourself
honestly,
about
that's
me
like
section.
Genius because it's kind of like marketing online, except you know all the codes and you know, you just give it to the person.
The keywords.
Yeah,
like
the just, keywords.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be stressful. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I try to make like dating that. Apps not stressful.
You're like a dating marketer.
Yeah, that's, like that's exactly it.
New title. Exactly
it. You gotta sell what you have on your
app. we'll definitely have to come. I would love to get on
that
show.
I would really love that.
Maybe even just ask more, like, and hopefully I've had more dates by then with what are we going to call them, Pool Party Bay or Muslim Bay? Either one, those are the two guys that I'm kind of entertaining right now. So
Pool Party Bay.
Pool Party Bay. I don't know if I like that.
I don't like that
Me
either.
Me neither. We got to come up with a better name for him. But yeah, so I'm and
come
social
on the
media,
podcast. Social media. I'm at Damona Hoffman on all of the socials. So
awesome.
I'd love to hear your dating questions, horrible and decisions, listeners.
Send those in for sure, and I'll definitely send them over to you as well. So thank any you. Dating app questions that you guys have for Damona, definitely put, hey, I heard the episode with Damona, and please help me. And then Stacey, for our listeners who enjoyed you hating on me all episode, no, I'm just playing. Where can they find you, and also tell them about what you do in your business, because
okay,
you're
so
amazing.
Okay, so I was gonna close out being serious. I'm the owner of Get Lashed LA.
Hey.
Okay, on Laurel Canyon. I also have an online shop. I manufacture all my lashes. shopgetlashedla.com. And I just recently made my profile public again, and that is only one GS. So please be like nice and gentle to me, because it's been a while.
Also, guys,
did something happened. It sounds like there was a trauma
there.
No,
what happened? Twitter days, Instagram days, kind of little like a lot of following, the K's behind the numbers, you know. So I was kind of a little like, in, you know, I don't know, on social media, whatever, the millennial, that's what I was. I got in a relationship, like you were talking about, left everything. I was like, fuck this. I just don't want any, like, you
drama
know, it was just too much
anything,
drama
yeah.
in the beginning. So I just wanted to get away.
All
and
the
then
DM slides.
I refocused my energy into my business, which is like the greatest thing I could have done.
Yes.
So now I am like refinding myself and who I have become, and I just didn't want to do that in front of everyone because I've changed.
Her wholeness mm-hmm. has been deleted basically.
It has.
No, but guys, if you guys are lash techs or even looking to get your lashes done here in LA, we do have a promo code at Get Lashed LA. It is WDP, and it gets you 20% off on the shop,
20% off online. That's yes. the code WDP, and then $25 off a full set.
If you come in and say, hey, horrible decisions
yep,
sent me.
Horrible decisions.
And
these lashes are
yeah, no, she does a really good job. And, like, she does it quick. She did my lashes. And, well not
I
these,
have
but,
a shop with, like, it's not me that's going to do your lashes. It's a couple girls.
Yeah, she's like, bitch, I have employees. I own it now. I have people that work under me. No, but thank you guys so much for joining me. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please leave the comments on SoundCloud. We don't have video for this, so for all of the people who enjoy watching us on YouTube, we are recording remotely, and so a bitch had to pay for the studio this time. So but shout out to you guys. As always, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our supporters. So everyone on Patreon who donates as little as $1 a month, you guys are helping us rock. We are also about to drop these tour dates, guys. So woo-hoo. There's 16 cities that we are coming to. For the ones who have been asking us, we are coming to Boston, New Orleans, Cleveland, the Bay Area, Dallas, Charlotte, Orlando, New Orleans. I said the Bay.
Okay.
Where else that we haven't hit before?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we're also hitting the cities we've hit before. Okay. Oh, also Detroit. So
ooh,
yeah, we're hitting 9 new cities. So I'm super excited to see all of you guys. Oh yeah, Philly, y'all rock. Y'all always rock with us. So we're coming mm-hmm. to Philly. But before we get out of here, we are gonna leave you a 5-minute bonus clip from our Patreon. If you guys did not know, we drop 7 episodes a month. That is an additional 3 bonus episodes. We are now sitting on almost 45 bonus episodes. So if you are all caught up with all of the Horrible Decisions podcast, you can go onto patreon.com/horrible decisions and check out our bonus content. Once again, guys, tune in to the 5-minute bonus clip. And this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Patreon Bye. Is so worth it.
Hey. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Fraction rarely compared to the general population, and some have little to no interest in sexual activity. Okay,
nope,
you're not a demisexual. Demisexuals are considered to be on the asexual spectrum, meaning they are closely aligned with asexuality. So I guess
Christopher.
That one is more so. Yeah, I think Christopher may be that. And so that's where you're just finding more of emotional bond.
Because
with
I guess I get that because maybe some asexual people don't even need an emotional bond.
But that was like me with Felon Bay. I love being around that nigga, maybe, but I didn't want to fuck him. But only because he wanted to fuck. I didn't want to fuck him. I used to call him over when I was on my period. Because I knew I wasn't going to fuck with blood. Because
you like him.
I liked it.
So E, what's the next one? Really weird one.
This is not a real one.
Dude, yes it is. It took a long time to find, but I had to look up LGBTQ slang. This one is called an eyeball queen. A person who derives pleasure from watching others engage in intercourse. Now, we normally hear voyeurism.
A voyeurism, yeah.
But they call it eyeball queens when it's like a gay sex club.
So the next one is weird. I ain't never heard of this either.
You've never heard that?
Friend of Dorothy.
Yes.
Like Dorothy from the
Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz?
It's like an AKA.
Wait, was the Tin Man and Lion and all them gay?
I don't know.
Was the Scarecrow and all that shit gay? Don't ruin my childhood.
I've been to a brunch called a Friend of Dorothy.
Friend of Dorothy.
At Hamburger Mary's.
So y'all, a Friend of Dorothy is a slang for a gay man. So wait, Friend of Dorothy. Is the Friend of Dorothy the gay man or is Dorothy the gay man?
No. Like you're a Friend of Dorothy. You're the gay man. So, like, it's a way to say that you're not gay. For example, like, I was in a gay bar once where this guy was like, are we family, sis? And I knew what he meant. Like, LGBTQ
no, what
fam.
Is it? Oh, are we family, family? Eh.
And I've heard, are you a ladies lady? When I go to the gay club, they love to ask me that. Actually, when I was in LA.
What's a ladies lady? That means you're a lesbian?
Yeah. This guy was like, are you a ladies lady? Because there's new news with Tessa Thompson. She is dating Lupita.
Wait, no, wasn't Tessa Thompson dating,
yes.
The one with the suit.
I know.
Janelle Monáe.
Now Tessa Thompson is, or Janelle Monáe's dating Lupita. It's one or the other.
Lupita was dating, wasn't she dating,
a dude.
No Chin. She hates him.
Who's No
Michael,
Chin?
Michael B. Jordan. He ain't got no chin, bro.
You don't think he's cute?
No, it's his profile. His chin dips right into his neck. Y'all, if y'all look at Michael B. Jordan from the side, she got me saying, and that nigga ain't got no chin, bro.
It's like, you know what that just reminded me of? His what face. Y'all did when Jesus and Meryl, long back. Tell us what!
No, he ain't got no neck, bro. Well, he ain't got no chin.
Oh my God, I see it!
Look, it goes right into, no, look at him from, look at a profile. You gotta do a profile. Look up Michael B. Jordan profile.
Love it.
His face goes right into his neck. He ain't got no chin.
I still suck that dick from the
back. Okay. Little.
So there's a few. There's two different G's. The first G is a genderqueer. It's a way of describing someone's gender that doesn't include the current definitions of man or woman.
That's me. Nope, I'm lying. I'm just queer, I think. Because I identify
some people might identify themselves as feminine men or masculine women or androgynous, or there are other categories. That they just want outside of boy, man, or girl, woman. Not all genderqueer people are trans.
Ooh, interesting. The next one, actually, you picked two. These are two G's. Mm-hmm. Another one would be gender fluid. So a person whose gender identification and presentation shifts, whether within or outside of societal gender-based expectations, being fluid in motion between two or more genders.
Now, you know
so I
gender
think
fluid?
I'm gender fluid. Because, bitch, my dick is long.
James is gender fluid.
James. Well, so me and James, gender fluid, shout out.
Maybe, but he wears like...
Why are you saying maybe? Bitch, I wear baggy jeans. I be ready to be a nigga and slang my dick.
With a nigga? So what's the problem? I think that's... Well, no.
With a nigga? I'm a woman.
Because your gender is not your sexual orientation.
Say that.
But you don't think you are.
You want to call
okay, homo and heterosexual. Homosexual being gay. Bitch, could I get an H? Damn.
No, get an H.
A heterosexual is straight. Meaning with the opposite gender. What's I? This is a good one.
I is different. Damn, I thought I was going to get to read the next one. You read I because I like the next one. I just like the sound of it.
Okay. Intersex is a person born with a combination of genitals and chromosomes that are different from the medically defined
hermaphrodite.
Male. No, but yeah. So, like, I think we shouldn't use that word anymore, apparently, which is why intersex is the word. But
it is hermaphrodite. It's the
but you
better...
can't see them. So, like, a woman... that did the intersex TED talk said she didn't know for years or something, and she just didn't have the certain chromosome, and she had a male chromosome up there, so she can't have kids. It's a very crazy number. It's like one in every 2,000. Let me look it up. Percentage of intersex. Like a lot of people have this, and they just grow up and they don't know. And so she said when she was growing up, her mom would take her to doctors. Nobody could figure it out. Come to find out, 2% of people.
Only 2% in the whole world? or American world?
I wish you just said nationwide or
sorry.
Or the American world. That's in the US.
2%. Okay. And it's like what, 8 billion of us?
That's a lot.
I think, or is that China? Is that China with 8 billion? I think we only 3 billion or something.
Hold on. That number, now I'm seeing 1 in every 1,500 births or 1 in every 2,000. That's what she said. 1 in every 2,000.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But it's not like you'll have a dick and a pussy.
It's like a fat clit?
It's
your reproductive organs. Right, right, okay, right. So that makes sense. The next one, which I'm excited about, guys, we're at J. J is a jelly dildo. The most soft and flexible toy material, but also holds the most bacteria. Oh, damn. I like my little jelly
Me
dildo.
Too.
So it holds the most bacteria. Most experts have said to throw it out. God damn it.
For J, I really was trying. And then I was like, okay, what's a gay
Real
toy?
Quick, can you think of a J, other term involving sex that has to do with J?
No, bro. I tried all last night. This shit took me like an hour.
J.
Juicing.
Jailbird sex, bitch.
Okay.
We could have brought up jailbird.
Actually, jail is pretty gay.
Jail. Don't do that. Because they can sleep with the inmates. They could, don't do that. Don't do that. It is gay though. Jail. That's where they
oh,
be.
Oh, nope. They dropped the soap.
They be gay for their sentence. And then they come out saying they're still straight.
That's how you know sex is really like, you just need it. A hole is a hole.
You know,
no. Okay. I like this one. So I did this. We've had this discussion, kink versus fetish.
Oh, kink versus fetish.
But a kink is referred to as an unconventional practice which people derive forms of pleasure. It's not a K, but I did want to read fetish after.